Kevin, good start. Happy with what you got. I know you. They always say you got to go low and keep going low out here, but you're a few under par.
Yeah, no, two under was fair. I wasn't very happy the way I hit it, to be honest. The swing just kind of felt off. So whenever it feels off and you can still shoot under par on the PGA Tour, it's not far away. Made some nice putts, both at my first hole 10 and then on number 5. You know, over 25 feet there for birdies, so that was kind of nice to keep rounds going in that regard. But yeah, it just wasn't quite there today. But the weather also, you know, it was a little gusty out here, made it a little challenging, and I think it's supposed to blow more this afternoon, so I shouldn't be in too bad of a position.
Mm-hmm. Well, short game always key, and mm-hmm. It looked like you had a heck of a chip there on your last green. Yeah. I thought it was going in.
Yeah, we did too. It just broke right at the last second, which I was worried about. I actually read that, but it looked good for a long way, but just finished on the edge there. But it's a solid day, especially with not having my best stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about where your game is at. You know, the majors have gone through more or less so far, and are you in the British Open?
No, not in the Scottish or British, so I'm kind of sad about that, to be honest. I missed by a shot last year to get exempt into this year. I think I finished T19 and the top 15 get in the next year, and I knew it would be at St. Andrews this year. It would have been a special one to get in. Played all right at Southern Hills. You know, I had a nice Sunday. I think me and Justin had the little rounds there on Sunday, so I played nicely there. But yeah, it always stinks to not be in the majors, to be honest, especially the British. That's probably my favorite one of them all, especially at St. Andrews.
Mm-hmm. How hard do you got to drive now to at least try to make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm sitting in the low 110 or 112 or something right now. So played nice last week, finished with 3 straight 67s. And, you know, to shoot 69 today and feel like I didn't play well is always a good sign, you know. So it's a game of ebbs and flows. Still doing this at age 43 and a half and feel real blessed to be able to do that. So you just got to take it day by day and tournament by tournament and keep working on stuff that, you know, makes you better.
Well, I know the commissioner announced some changes in the playoff format. It sounds like not as many guys in it next year, but more money on the table. So will you be driving hard to try to at least get to Olympia Fields next year?
Yeah, Olympia Fields is always a special get around Chicago for me. I think it's all real positive. You know, the things we're seeing from the PGA Tour. To me, it was never even a discussion to venture off into discussions with LIV. I think it's exhibition golf. I think there's no historical merit to it. I think it's just guys grabbing money, and I don't necessarily blame them for doing that if they feel it's the best for their careers and their jobs. But I also don't think that they can, you know, I think they need to understand how the world and the golf historians are going to look at their careers as well. Mm-hmm. Won't be the same.
Yeah, I know, you know, guys who had early starts even, somebody would ask Tiger Woods about his day, and he'd say, well, they gave me a 7:10 tee time in the morning, and I had to get up at 4 a.m. to be ready. And, you know, you're out here, this is still an athletic competition. You may not be getting hit like a guy in the NFL does, but still, you got to be at your best athletically, and sometimes I'm sure that's difficult if you got to go off the tee box at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I guess with their shorter fields, you know, stuff like that, they won't have to deal with that.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, playing shotguns and 54-hole no-cut events isn't real tournament golf either. So it's their decision. It's their choice. And I think the PGA Tour is just going to flourish that much more because of it.
Mm-hmm. So could you ever see yourself going out to that tour at some point? Some people are suggesting the guy's looking for a gap before 50, maybe, and are hoping things get settled by the time they're 50.
No, I would never be interested in playing on that tour. It'll be this tour till I can't play anymore, and then I will take a few years off to watch my children grow up, and then I will hopefully go out and kick butt on the Champions Tour.
Mm-hmm. How are things going with Wilson? I know you've been with them for a long mm-hmm. time. Tim Clark calls you part of the family, and I'm sure you've still got a lot of their product in your bag.
Oh, yeah. I play all their irons and wedges. Their new driver coming out this fall, I'm very excited about. We were testing it at Bay Hill, and Gary and I were seeing really fast ball speed, so we were pretty excited about that. It is a family. It's one of my greatest decisions I've ever made was calling Tim Clark after I left Cleveland in 2010. and been with them the last 12 years. We've helped develop the brand, the product, brought it back to a world-class level, and see what Padraig did last week and Gary did a few years ago, and it's just exciting. On top of it all, being from Chicago, it's extra meaningful to me. And I love Tim and Ron and Duffy and Lindsay, and just like I said, they're my brothers and sisters, and I give Tim a hard time. I say he could be my dad, but what they do for me and the Illinois Junior Golf Association, and what they do for Wheaton Warrenville South, my high school, we got them bags this year, and just like grassroots stuff like that makes a difference. And so I'm proud to be a part of that.
Talk about being a part of this new Illinois Junior Golf. I believe it's a Hall of Fame, and you're going to speak at a dinner.
Yeah, that was a cool telephone call to get. Their first ever Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Like, there's five of us getting inducted, and they asked if I would speak at it at Cantini, the Monday of Detroit, which is great. We can kind of fly right in there and spend that, and do a clinic for the kids that afternoon, and then have a nice dinner from 6 to 8 that night at Cantini. And it's an honor to look back and to think of me and my mom driving across the state, playing in whatever tournaments we could get into. 30 years ago, you know, and I still, one of my favorite story, like I told my, after my first year on tour in 08, I said, Mom, pick any car in the world you want. I'm buying you a new car because of how many miles you drove me. And I stole her car to start the mini tours. She gave me her old car. I said, you could pick any Mercedes, anything you want. And she said, you always wanted a bug, a yellow bug, a VW bug. And so got her one of those. I think it has, she still has it. I got an 08. It has like 30,000 miles on it. Still perfect condition. She's just babied this thing, and she hardly drives it. But it's just great memories back to that. The AJGA and some other organizations have reached out to me to ask me to do stuff with them. But I told them, I go, you know, honestly, you didn't invite me back in the day when I needed some help. And the IJGA was always there for me and my family, and it gave us a place to play, and it's how I learned to play competitive golf. So that's where kind of my heart and my...
Can you talk a little bit about this tournament? A different date on the calendar. I think they were wondering to see what that might be in terms of their field and different things, and for guys having a chance, they don't have to hightail it over to the Open if they were going. And also, I'm sure over the years you've been here, you know Claire Peterson pretty well. Your thoughts on him? He might be around a little bit, but he's actually retiring.
Right. Yeah. Claire's always been one of my favorite tournament directors, and just a class act gentleman. You always look forward to seeing. But they always put on a great tournament. They said this is pretty close to where I'm from. This is just great, hardworking people that love the game, and they love the city, and they love John Deere, and It means a lot to the people here. And so it's an honor to get back. I fly into Chicago. We went in Sunday night. We got to spend all day Monday at the Museum of Science and Industry, which is always my favorite museum when I was a kid. So to take Sophie and Rhett, my 6 and 8 year old, there on Monday was really special to me and Courtney. And to drive over here is, you know, I drive by Black Sheep where I'm a member at. It's one of my favorite courses in the world. And it's just home for me. So this is as close as the tour gets regularly, and so I'll support it as long as they'll have me.
Kevin, I know a lot of clubs in recent years, especially with the so-called COVID golf boom, have put their money back into their product. We've seen restorations, renovations, clubhouse improvements, practice facility improvements. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a rumor going around that Cantini might be ready to take a look at things. I was just wondering if you'd heard about that, and if they do any kind of golf course work out there. Is that something you'd like to get in with an architect?
You know, I'd be delighted to do that, yeah. I would love to do something like that. I've not heard of them doing that. It does make sense. It's such a successful property. I know with the McCormick Foundation, they have kind of, I don't know how all the tax stuff works, but they do have to invest a fair amount of their profits back into themselves. So it does make sense for them to make a world-class, location. I think they should give it a shot. They've got the land for it. It's beautiful, flowing rivers and hills, and just it's just great property for great golf architecture. So if I were to be asked to be part of that, it'd be an honor.